And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Plus minus.
Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit.
Plus minus.
That is a word right there.
What'd you say?
Fluffle.
Plus minus.
Yeah, like you, Marcus Thompson.
Marcus always tell the truth. Plus minus.
The only thing that I would say to Ethan Strauss is that he's a pretty damn good reporter. He's well
plus
respected.
Minus. I think he got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
Welcome back to Warriors Plus Minus. The General Services Administration has given us permission to transition. So now we can talk about the new Warriors. Thank you, Elaine Murphy, for relenting.
All the votes have been counted.
Well, I believe it was Emily, by the way.
Yeah.
Emily?
He's taking all of them. Everybody there.
I never knew there was a General Services Administration to this whole rigmarole. But anyway, Marcus.
I don't think anybody did.
I didn't know a lot of stuff about politics that I know 4 years later.
The pervasive point is that we can now talk about the next season, right? We can do that now? Is that?
Yes.
We're allowed, right, Slate? This is what we can do now.
I think we've actually been talking about next season for about 2 years now, feels like.
We've been talking about all these theories of how they would rebuild the roster. Now we actually have the example. Besides the Clay injury, this is kind of how we mapped it in a lot of ways.
So. Mapped it, but I didn't expect him to kill it like this. I mean, that's the thing of it.
Oh, thumbs up, yeah. Ethan. Thumbs up.
Where did this go? I thought we were going
to
be.
He was destroying the I get people complaining to me that Ethan's destroying the dynasty, Mr. Negative. Where did they kill? What was the best move, Ethan? What was their best move for?
I call it like I see it. You know, I think Oubre. I think getting Oubre is a good move.
Can we just start, though, by saying that they basically followed my plan? Like, I gave them the 5 steps and they essentially followed it. So, Bob Myers, I'm going to need a check.
Yeah, and then when it all falls apart, we're going to blame you, Marcus, not Bob Myers?
Absolutely.
Marcus knows nothing.
When it all falls apart, will anybody give me credit for being doom and gloom initially? Who knows?
Can I also say that I think I did Kelly Oubre as like a target of the week way long ago.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about it on the podcast, and Ethan didn't like it at the time, and now he's saying that is the move of an offseason.
Me and Ethan have had this Kelly Oubre conversation for a while now. He has not been a fan of Kelly Oubre.
I guess here's what I'm saying. It's like when you go hiking, they say hunger is the best sauce. Desperation is the best sauce. When all of a sudden your all-star wing suffers a devastating injury, it's very important that you get a replacement. So, yeah.
So, Ethan is a wily coyote and stuck in the desert. And Kelly Oubre now is a chicken. You know, the mirage just turns him into a chicken. Like, yeah, you looking pretty good right now.
I mean, it's one of those, like, you better figure out something because it is so hard to get wings in this league. And that is the curve I am grading the Warriors on. You know, I said doom and gloom, dynasty over. I mean, I think that's kind of self-evident, frankly. I think people don't want to hear it because emotions are raw in the aftermath of what happened with Clay. But then after that point, to be able to just get some wings when it's so hard to get wings in the NBA, when you absolutely needed them. Just in terms of a short-term solution, I think the Warriors really did a great job this offseason. Do you guys agree?
That's where the $17.2 million exception that must be now calculated back into the whole D'Angelo Russell sign and trade that included the Andre Iguodala get off the final year. You get the exception. And, you know, we spent weeks wondering if Joe Lacob would use it and wondering if they would let this tool go to waste. They didn't. And now that, to me, makes us have to regrade the Russell sign and trade a little bit too, because you not only get Oubre for a year where, like you said, you're desperate to have him basically start at the two, probably play 30 minutes, probably be their third, fourth best scorer, but also I could see Kelly Oubre fitting. You know, if Joe Lacob's willing to keep spending big, Kelly Oubre could be on this roster next year with Klay Thompson too. So, you know, they have his rights long term.
That's the other reason to give them credit is they did not have to do it. They did not. And that's quite a financial commitment. We don't know what it's going to be at the end of it all. I don't think it's necessarily going to be the initial sticker shock $80 million, but it's going to be a lot of money. and it represents very intense commitment to win in the short term. So not every ownership group would do it. They just wouldn't in the NBA. So there should be some credit given there.
Yeah, I just think that if they're going to maintain themselves as a credible, you know, we can't say championship level organization at this point. Ethan's said no, so we got to defer to Ethan. But as a contender, as an interesting team, as Steph Curry's prime seasons, they had to do this even if Klay didn't get hurt, I think. Like, I mean, this is something they just had to do. We talked about it. Like, there was some responsibility based on, you know, on rich teams. And the rich teams that don't spend that money are going to get criticized for it. And the ones that do are going to get praised for making the effort. We'll see how it works out. But last season's group of ads really wasn't, like, tough, right? It wasn't defense. It wasn't, like, go irritate the other team. It was D'Angelo Russell, Glenn Robinson, Willie Cauley-Stein, you know, Jordan Poole.
Alec, get buckets, Burks.
Alec Burks, you know, like, the toughest guy they brought in was Pascal, and that was just as an afterthought. And these guys, you got Oubre, Wanamaker's, he's a little bit of a scrappy guy, right? I mean, he's like messes around with guys. He bumps off with people.
He kind of reminds me of the PJ Tucker path, where played Europe for 7 years, came over. He's 28 years old. He's like in his third year, and he's kind of scrappy. I'm not saying he'll be PJ Tucker.
If you look at it, you can say it's defense, because Wiseman is certainly defense first. But I don't think Wiseman, you know, he's not, Cauley-Stein's athletic. I don't want to rip him, but he certainly avoids contact. And I don't think Wiseman is going to do that. I think they've got some guys who are going to bang around a little bit. And I think they need that. And I think at times Draymond looked around and go, you know, I'm going to go slug it out with LeBron. And I've got D'Angelo Russell or Wiggins, certainly not a guy, a physical guy. And now he's got some guys around him. He's got some, you know, he's got some guys who might, you know, scrap with him. Doesn't mean they're going to be better. But I think that was an important element of what they did in this season, going into this season. Just a little bit tougher, a little bit ornerier, a little more defensive minded. And I think they're going to be more interesting to watch.
They're kind of a big team now, all of a sudden. I mean,
if they're playing Oubre at the two. I mean, if Oubre at the two, they're really big.
They're long.
6'7" at the two.
I think they have about six or seven.
It's wingspan all over the place.
I think they have six or seven rotation players that have 7 foot wingspan.
I'm into it. I don't think that it's contention level. And I think that you don't have a lot of balance. If Steph undergoes any kind of injury, I mean, the whole thing is pretty much cooked. But I'm excited to watch it. It feels like a different model than the one we were watching before. It was a lot of veteran savvy IQ and guile and passing in the early iteration of the Warriors dynasty. Now it's Steph and a lot of athleticism. And I don't know if we've ever seen it, so that's why I'm really...
We have it.
That's really,
well,
it's really,
I mean,
interesting.
You know, Andre when he was younger, Livingston when he was young, you know, that first season of those guys all together was long, you know, a little more springy.
David Lee, David Lee was in his prime.
Yeah,
they were athletes like this.
Barnes, Azili, not like this. Young Draymond, but Oubre is just, that's what he is. He's an athlete. I want to get back to what Slater mentioned about using the trade exception, the Iguodala deal, and all wrapped up in D'Angelo Russell. And I did bring that up with Lacob, and I heard somebody from the organization say, see, look, it was good that we did the D'Angelo Russell deal.
I think I know who that person was.
I'm pretty sure who was.
And that's fine. I just said, but you know what? We all said it at the time, too, by the way. Like, we all said this is an asset ad, right? This is not a player ad. It's an asset.
No, it wasn't an asset. They brought him to keep him.
I know. I did bring up, Myers did absolutely say, we did not bring him in to trade him. That is not, well, I don't know where people are saying that. And I understand a GM has to say that, but we talked about this a lot, that this was an asset play. They got a guy. The only way they could keep this maximum salary slot is if they added somebody who also had value in the future, and D'Angelo Russell was that. But they basically turned losing Kevin Durant and Andre Iguodala. We got to add that, because that was a penalty, losing Iguodala and Durant into Kelly Oubre, Andrew Wiggins, and a first-round pick protected 1-3 next season. That's pretty good. I mean, for nothing, that's pretty good. If you want to add up all those moves, this is what you do when you have the money to spend, first of all, and secondly, when you're thinking out a couple moves ahead.
Well, to me, they punted last season, so Iguodala didn't really matter last season. And then Durant, they were losing anyways because he said, I'm leaving. So, yeah, no, I mean, to me, it can really become a home run if they turn Wiggins into a player and if they keep Oubre long term. That's when it was like, wow, that was a great string of moves. For now, it's like, help.
Or if they package them all to get Giannis.
Well, Giannis, I don't know when this is coming out, but Giannis, when's he committing over there? Like, what's going on?
Well, how about the disastrous string of events for the Bucks with the whole, like, Bogdanovich, like, you know, that move crumbles and then they
go whatever it was, right? Yeah.
DJ Augustine, 3 for $21 million, and then like they backed it up with some strange, I guess they didn't have any other answers because that was what they were thinking they were going to do, but didn't look like the most competent front office work in the last week or two.
Our John Hollinger made the same conclusion in his explanation. He's like, yo, at some point Giannis is going to be like, yo, what are y'all doing? Like, what is happening up here?
I believe this, like what we've seen Oklahoma City do, is you sign these guys to long-term extensions and you tell them if you want to go, we'll trade you. Because I think, if I'm honest, that's what I demand from Milwaukee. Give me the deal, and the only way I sign it is if you agree to trade me if I don't like it. So it turns out, you know, because he's got all the power. Well, how could they say no to that? Oh, no, we're not going to give you this deal. To hell with you. We won't. No, they'll probably
what
give
me
that
we call
deal.
It, like an open marriage in free agency? What is that? What is that?
Sounds
what
about right. Sounds, let me look around. No, you can't look around, but let me look around.
What would you call that? That's not a no-trade clause. That's a
will
trade clause.
Will trade clause. You must trade me in a year if
that's
I say
that's
so.
A polygamous contract. What is that?
And I don't even know if that's really allowed, right? I mean, if you went back and said, should you allow Paul George to tell you that when I want to be traded, you will trade me, and that's the only way I take a max, I bet you the league would say, don't do that. But what are the small markets going to do? They have to do stuff like that to get a Paul George, to get a Russell Westbrook to sign long-term, and to get Giannis. I bet you, I would just say, even if he announced it right now that he's signing the Supermax, I would not preclude him asking for a trade and getting traded next season. Or maybe even February. Probably too soon. But this is a guy that he's got that clout. He's absolutely got that clout.
What's interesting, as Hollinger was pointing out, is how many teams are held up right now in free agency because they obviously think they have a shot at him. And that is odd. That is a little bit strange. And Hollinger also pointed out that you don't see any of these teams doing this for Anthony Davis, or they didn't even do it for Anthony Davis at a certain point because it was obvious it was the Lakers.
Well, I remember one team doing it for another player about 4 years ago and did a whole lot of stuff the couple years before to make sure they had the space to sign this guy 4 years ago. And they did
like
sign
three years before, right?
And so I just wonder what's happening. Like, why is this impression out there? Why do we have multiple teams acting like they have a shot at this guy? In theory, a lot of these deals are done in secret, behind the scenes. It seems like Giannis has let a few teams think that they can get him, which I think would make me a little nervous if I'm a Bucks fan.
Or the lack of commitment says that. Like, the fact that he hasn't committed makes teams say, well, what if?
Yeah, exactly. They're leaving the option open.
I mean, the Warriors thought they were getting LeBron for a minute, right? Like, yes. Remember they were trying to get...
They thought they had a chance at him. They thought
they could get him beaten. Anyway, yes. How about that?
There was also some rumblings that he was going to sign it, and now that that has gone quiet, that would be a concern.
The other point, and we don't need to do an all Giannis piece again, but I also think, what did it really cost Miami to leave themselves? Not that much, right? It's a cost value. Like, hey, if we can keep most of this together and we don't have to put ourselves into a spot where we're losing our opportunity to chase Giannis, let's do it. I don't think the risk was that great for this team. Like with Dallas, oh my God, the hell is space open. What were they going to do? They don't get Gordon Hayward for that spot? No, they don't. Why not just go with the young guys and then see what they got next season for Giannis? So I don't think it's like, oh my God, this means he's doing it. I just means there is a chance for it to happen, no question. But let's talk Warriors.
When all this stuff was going down on draft day, there was a lot of talk about the Warriors' relative inactivity and, you know, not getting guys or missing on guys. If you take out the Oubre, which, you know, was the trade exception, really wasn't a part of the free agency signing. And the Warriors basically walk away with Brad Wanamaker and Kent Bazemore. Do you feel like that's a legit criticism that they weren't involved?
They walked away with another player. He's 7'1". He's 19. And I think he's going to be quite a
pretty good. That's not the free agency period, though. Yeah, I'm just talking about the free agency period.
But part of that inactivity was their unwillingness to trade the asset that was number two, or at least put it in talks, because they might have a 25-point-per-game immediate center. And so I think we need to include Wiseman in the offseason.
They think Wiseman could score 25 off the bat? Or like
No. Yeah, that's 25 season. Minutes. I said 25 okay. minutes, not okay. points.
Okay. I was like, whoa. I was like, what happened there?
Yeah.
I'm thinking of guys who are available, who could fit under their mid-level, who could fit under the table. There's just a lot of, oh, this guy's going there. How come the Warriors aren't involved? Do you like the method that they chose? Or do you think they probably should have gone after a few of these guys?
Yeah, I don't know who that would have been. I mean, you know, the
guys, and we don't know that they didn't, right? They probably,
there's a few guys they probably went after. I mean, my guy was Josh Richardson. You know, there's guys, Joe Harris, whatever. There's a list of guys, but they probably weren't going to get those guys. Well, Josh Richardson would have been through trade. But, you know what, Marc Gasol, like he was, they're not the Lakers. That's where the Warriors were. Geez, somebody might have written this a little while ago. That's where the Warriors were 2 years ago, where they're going to get a guy taking the cut rate deal. That's the Lakers now. I mean, they might have missed on one or two guys.
Slater, I thought they were going to get Serge. I did think they were getting Ibaka. Like, when the prices started dropping, I was like, oh, they might get this dude.
Well, I'll say this. Clay's injury really hurt them in that, in those arguments, because the team like the Lakers who got Gasol, a team like the Clippers who got Serge, can say, come and you can win a title. If you're those guys looking at the Warriors, you're like, I don't think they can win anymore without Clay. So that takes that off the table. I do think there's a world where if Clay doesn't get injured, they have Wiseman, they still maybe get a Wanamaker, and then they also get a Marc Gasol, because Marc Gasol's saying, okay, tiebreaker goes to the Warriors. I think I can go and be kind of the final piece there. I know they were in on Aaron Baines too. You know, he decided to go to Toronto. That was almost the dominoes of Gasol goes to the Lakers. Toronto needs a big. If you're Aaron Baines, you're probably thinking Toronto's got a better chance at a title than the Warriors. And the fact that they were mixing it up for those two guys tells me they're unsure. They're most unsure right now about their big man spot. Obviously, we don't know with Wiseman. We don't know with Looney's health. Marquese Chris, okay, he's helpful. That's the one spot I think they wish they got one more guy.
There's a bodies out there. I mean, not great ones, but we'll see. If they're willing to spend, I think they can get somebody. It won't, you know, it's going to be on that level of what we're talking about, you know, Cauley Stein or whoever. I mean, it wouldn't be him, but it'd be on that level. But I don't know that they actually absolutely need another center, other than Kerr likes having five of them to play. A lot of this depends on Wiseman, right?
Yes,
Wiseman,
it depends on.
Yeah. If Wiseman can't play more than, you know, Damian Jones minutes, yeah, then they need another center. But if he can play Marquese Chris minutes or more, then I think they're okay at center.
Yeah, I think it's job well done. I think it's hard to have complaints given what they've turned around. And there is a little bit of a tragedy to it, just in that I look at what they've gotten, and it's stuff they could have gotten if they didn't have this Clay injury, and you go, oh man, I could talk myself into a contention if they still had Clay as Clay. So I think they've added more depth. They've addressed some of the issues that made them so bad last season. And I'm not sure what the complaint would be at the end of this all. I mean, I know there are aspects of them wanting to bolster the center spot, as Anthony's saying, but I don't really know what the complaint can be. And I haven't really been seeing too many complaints. I think the fans are pretty happy with what they're doing.
We'll talk about the second round picks a little bit. I think Nico Mannion isn't a great player, but man, who's going to have a better career, him or Jordan Poole?
I think it's gonna be real close
between.
Let's talk a little Nico. Let's talk a little Mannion, because it's look, most second round picks are not going to work out. It's probably a 95% shot that it's not going to work out. That's the smart money, right, on Nico Mannion. But there is something interesting in coming away from a draft with two of the top six, like, highest ranked high school recruits going into that college class. You know, that's what the Warriors have. I think Nico and the RSCI was six and highly touted. And if you were just basing it off his first eight games before he started having back spasms, and figure out whatever that means. You know, maybe you look at that and say that he's never going to be right in his career. Or maybe you look at that and say that's the confounding variable. But he looked awesome at the beginning of the college season before totally falling off. And also, I've heard some rumblings that maybe Sean Miller's not the most highly thought of coach offensively. So it might be a bit of a bet on that end. And so I don't know if that's the right pick. I don't know if it will work out, but Mannion's interesting at number two, and you could see him flourishing with a Steve Kerr offense potentially.
And it was the bonus of they, not only did they get him that late in the draft, but they had an agreement in place while getting him that he was going to agree to a two-way deal, which basically gives him a free roster spot, essentially. I mean, because the two ways this year with a very unknown situation in the G League, are they even going to play a season? He can be active for 50 of the 72 games. So you basically just get an extra point guard.
That Mannion Smilagic pick and roll.
Oh, my. That should be in Santa Cruz.
I'll just say, yeah, he met where Mannion was at the start of this last season to somebody who went in the second round and agreed to a two-way deal. That's pretty amazing. But that happened. happens. I just think he's going to be a capable NBA player, not a great one, and you know, certainly not a starter. But when we talk about the guys they've run through to be Steph's backup, right? I mean, other than Sean, there's been a lot of shakiness there, and I can see Mannion giving him 6 minutes here and there. I can see that just from watching him college play. Not great. Defensively is going to be an issue, but I think he can run that team for a little bit, and that's more than I can at this point say for Jordan Poole.
I got a question for all you guys, because this is who he replaced. Do you like him more than Kai Bowman?
For potential, he's 19. I mean, that's the thing.
I mean, Bowman's like 22 and was super athletic, but Bowman was score first, downhill, I'll guard your best player. Mannion's like, I'm going to run the unit.
I think Bowman has a higher floor, Mannion has a higher ceiling, is my take on that.
I think Bowman was an interesting player, did some fantastic things, but like when they put the ball in his hands, they had to actually take it out of his hands and give it to somebody else. And that's not how his role is going to work out long term in the NBA, where just he's too small to be running off the ball, and you couldn't put the ball in his hands. So that for Warriors,
you never liked Bowman, though.
I never did. Yeah, Bowman. I never did. A lot of time I watch him, and that's when the deficit would go from 10 to 22. It would be specifically when Bowman was in the game. You just watch it every single time. Oh, great dunk, great steal. Oh, the opponent just went on an 11-1 run. I just don't like that sensibility about him, where I just don't think he fits as a
lead
guard. The
lack of passing.
Yeah, he doesn't fit as a lead guard.
Yeah, and a lot of the Warriors staff felt that way too, even if they liked the guy.
I wonder about Mannion. I watched Mannion, and I know this isn't like the barometer for how well somebody does in NBA, but I watched him at that Curry camp with a lot of these players, and he was the point guard. Like, he ran it. It was him and Scotty Lewis, who I think is now at Florida. He was incredible. Like, he looked like the perfect player for the Warriors. He ran the floor. He pushed it. He could shoot. Saw everything. So to see him at Arizona was like, whoa, that was a fluke. And a lot of those other guys from that same camp, including Wiseman, ends up being great. And Mannion was literally like one of the best players on the floor. So to see him at Arizona was like, whoa, who is this guy? So I do wonder if it was Sean, like, you know, if it's just a matter of coaching. College has been like, for a long time, shackled dudes who then go pro, and you kind of get to see their talent.
He looked like he was in complete command at the beginning of that college season in a way that is uncommon for a freshman.
It was why I was making the joke with you, Ethan, because I remember very early in the college basketball season, right around the time we were learning how bad the Warriors were going to be, I remember going into the press room and you were starting to map it. Remember when he just started going, draft story, draft story, draft story? And he was like, watching Nico Mannion tape, he's like, this might be the guy. And I'm like, oh, okay. And now it's like they get him 48.
It's crazy. Well, yeah, he just had such a fall from grace.
It started when Pritchard owned him in that game. Like, that was it was all downhill from there.
Well, I worry about the two-point shooting. I worry about just around the rim. That's something that a bit of a concern. But at that time, opening up, I think first 8 games, he was over 50% from the field, over 40% from three, passing better than anybody in college basketball. And you went, oh, man, is this Steve Nash reincarnated? Who is this guy? And maybe the Warriors have an idea of how it all
went. It just means something is there, though, right? It means you can't, something is there. You're not doing that if it's not there.
And what, he's 6'4, right? 6'3, 6'4. I mean, he's got some size.
6'3, yeah.
He's got some size to him.
I don't know. He did his introductory press conference with James Wiseman, and he was like 5'1 next to James Wiseman.
Well, I saw that picture of Sean next to Wiseman. Is Sean 6'2, actually? We missed it. We thought he was 6'7, and he's 6'2. Wiseman is large. So, Slater, what was your impression of Wiseman just being around him at that press conference, him on the phone, personality-wise?
It was kind of a fun event. You know, it's such a weird time to do these, but you get there, and then suddenly the Warriors' entire front office, all masked up, floods out of like the front of Chase Center to watch. And, you know, we were able to kind of have conversations. I chatted with Ron Adams for a little while. He's hyped. He was kind of relating it to the Mitchell Robinson story of Mitchell Robinson was considered a high prospect, but then went to college and like disappeared from college. Something happened. I can't remember. And then, you know, that killed his stock a little bit, and then he goes to the Knicks, and like right away it's like, whoa, who's this like shot blocking great defender? He was kind of relating it to that story. But the day was interesting. You could tell how like genuinely excited the entire front office seems to be, and the coaching staff seems to be, about the Wiseman pick, about his personality. They've come to really like him. His family was there. They were, you know, seemed to be having a great time. They saw Steve Kerr. They were like so excited. We're like, please, can we get a picture? Oh my. I mean, it was cool. It was cool to just be at like a live event again. And what was strange was the Oubre rumors were dropping right at that time. And Lacob is sitting there, and he's the one that just greenlit this monster bill. And like Bob Myers, you could tell, is trying to do a press conference where he's like solemnly discussing Clay, because that news dropped that morning. And he like on the stage was like apologizing to the Wiseman family for having to answer these questions on their big day. And then he had to, hey, look, celebratory, you know, here's this new number two overall pick. And also, like, he's looking at his phone every 10 minutes. And then he's, like, bursting off the stage to go take a call because he's finalizing the Oubre stuff. So it was interesting.
The trials of Bob Myers, general manager, the struggle. That's funny.
It's a large job and lots of stuff happened. That's what, like, when I was thinking, is he going to go to L.A.? Like, they said they were going to send that group down to L.A. to visit Clay during the MRI. Like, he can't, he's got to make these deals. Like, he can't be on a plane for an hour and a half and unavailable for 3 hours. No chance. He's got to do these deals.
We will be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
The other thing from the day was, and it's kind of what I alluded to, his size. It's like in person, you're like, you know it, you hear the metrics of it, but you're sitting there and that's a 19-year-old right there. It's like a legit 7 foot, pretty built, standing next to Sean Livingston. He was talking to Zaza briefly and it's like, oh, he's pretty much bigger than Zaza, like right now. And then they're walking away and Livingston, who had just met him, was like, oh yeah, that's a legit 7'1". Like, oh yeah, it is. And you're like, okay, this is different.
The real question is, will my guy Glenn Robinson III come back? Come on. What are you doing, Bob Myers? Come on. Steve Kerr loves this guy.
Total shunning. Bob Myers shunning Glenn Robinson.
To me, they gave Bazemore that spot.
Yeah,
really.
I know.
That's what I would say. Yeah.
Bazemore, man. So popular out here.
I mean, because basically anybody who they add, that means they're eliminating Michael Mulder. And then they might anyway, but to me, that's the cost right there. Like, it's the money and it's eliminating Michael Mulder. And people probably know I'm higher on Mulder than most, but I don't know that, is Glenn Robinson actually going to be that much more valuable to them than Michael Mulder could be?
You know what Glenn Robinson is. We don't yet know what Michael Mulder is. Michael Mulder could be better. Robinson, he'd be solid. I think Robinson would have been better than Bazemore. But
I'd have taken
Steph,
over Bazemore. Yeah, no question.
Really, I think they went defense. They're just going, who are we going to get who's going to defend somebody? Now, there already was a question whether Clay could do it, but now that Clay's completely off the table, they were sending Glenn Robinson, Alec Burks, and Wiggins after these guys, and that doesn't work. And now they've got Oubre and they've got Bazemore, and I just think they need it. They went offense last time, and they've basically gone offense last couple times. And this offseason, it was defense, and it was Oubre and Bazemore to go guard. Some, you know, they're Kawhi Leonard. We know Donovan Mitchell. We know Damian Lillard. We know all the guys. And if Klay's not going to be that there, and maybe not ever again as that defensive guy, that, man, they need somebody who can go get those. And Wanamaker's
going to really put Bazemore in that category?
No,
really,
but he over Glenn Robinson, I sure would.
I don't know about really.
Yes,
I think it depends on the kind of player.
I think ones and twos. Bazemore is little. What is Bazemore? 6'4"?
Yeah, no, but his wingspan. Yeah, but his wingspan is 7.
Wingspan don't help you when they back you down.
Yeah, but I think that his job is going to be more to hound primary ball handlers.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, the ones and the twos, I think, is Bazemore territory. I don't know if they're putting them on Kawhi Leonard.
I'd say it like this. I'd rather have Glenn Robinson, what you said right there, guard Kawhi Leonard. I'd rather have Kent Bazemore guard Damian Lillard. You got Wanamaker kind of for that job too. So, you know, the one thing about the Glenn Robinson, we don't know what his situation is. Maybe he's about to sign a $4 million per year deal in Atlanta or some, you know, somewhere with cap space. So maybe that wasn't available to them either.
Man, I just know he was supposed to go eat with Miss Seeley, have some Thanksgiving dinner with his old friend in his San Francisco apartment.
He still can. He still can.
He still can.
Nobody's nothing stopping him.
He still will. He still will, too.
No, well, Glenn Robinson will be fine. I don't want to bag on Glenn Robinson.
You're right, though. They made a calculated decision. And I think it was defense. I think it was athleticism. And I think they want to run. I mean, I just wrote this, but they want to run.
And the fact that he's pretty close friends with a member of the organization probably.
You think
helped
that might have helped a little bit?
Maybe just a little bit. Maybe
you
just
can't
a bit.
Golf with Johnny West all the time. You got to mix it up. You know, you need Bazemore every now and again.
What's up with Steve Kerr right now? How is he feeling about this? Like,
I think this is a Steve Kerr.
He's basically
off-season.
Saying he's got to coach differently, right?
Yeah, but you know, differently. He said that last season too with D'Angelo.
Not differently in the sense that he will do anything differently, but he's got to rethink how they approach things. And he seems to be open to it. He seems to like it. It's not just put the ball in the hands of our four all-stars anymore. It's definitely better than last year where it was like, what are we doing? How is Steve handling all this?
Coaches hate expectations, right? And so as much as it's a gut punch, what happened with Klay, and obviously doesn't like that, I do think there's this other aspect of going into last season. Remember how Steve was talking? Remember how he was trying to not so subtly tell everybody in the media that, hey, man, we're not really the Warriors anymore.
He wasn't trying to say that. He was saying that. He literally, we're going to be bad this year. Yeah,
remember after they got blown out?
Yeah.
By the Clippers. He said, this is the real NBA.
Yeah. He was basically saying, hey, everybody, we're the emperor.
And I was used to this.
I have a little bit of context to that. I remember, so they got blown out opening night by the Clippers. He says that, and then they were in Oklahoma City, and I'm chatting with him after a practice. And they would then go on to get blown out by the Thunder. And this is while Steph's still healthy. He came up, I was like, yeah, that was kind of surprising you said that. He's like, honestly, I just saw too many people picking us to go to the title preseason. But do you remember that? There was like some talk like, what? The dark horse Klay comes back in March. Here they come.
Yeah, and coaches hate that. They hate that because they end up getting the blame when they don't live up to expectations. And I think now it's kind of the other way. There's this big reaction to the Klay injury news, which I think is more devastating long-term than it is short term, hence why I declare the dynasty over. Yeah.
The one thing I would say about expectations, though, is like Joe Lacob planted some expectations back on him by spending the most, spending that amount on Oubre and kind of revamping and letting it be known, even on Tim's podcast, that like, no, we are not having another one of those type seasons.
But Joe's not moving the over under win total needle because they're at 39 games in Vegas.
That's 39 in a 70s. Yeah, so that equivalent about 43, 42, I would guess.
Yeah, but that's not exactly everybody picking them to win the championship.
But Steve is in on this, though, right, TK? Like, Steve was, he's not a bystander here.
I'm going to write about this. This is a Kerr-influenced offseason when the others couldn't be because They were finishing the season days before they were doing a draft and had free agency. You just look at it. He wanted size. He loves size. Like we talk about the Warriors playing small ball, but he loves size. He loves centers. Zaza Pachulia, JaVale McGee, David West, Harrison Varejao. He loves centers. They draft a center.
Centers of attention, Slater.
Yeah. He was very happy about
he wants that back.
Centers of attention. He was very happy about the Wiseman pick.
No question. And then you go to Oubre, a defensive wing. You go to Bazemore, a defensive two guard. You go to Wanamaker as classic a Kerr player. I thought this once. Like that guy looks like a Kerr player.
Been
in Europe, bounced around, good guy, can handle the ball, can also shoot it a little bit, but doesn't need to shoot it a lot.
He's going to let Wanamaker talk in like films and, come on up, Brad, and talk to the guards about how you need to defend this guy.
Yes.
What do we know Steve wants more than anything? A ball handler who doesn't turn it over, right?
Exactly.
Like he loses decisions. His mind with turnover. He just wants a guy like, calm everything down. It was Iguodala. It was Livingston. It's Wanamaker. He's that guy. Calm everything down. Give him the ball.
What did he call Andre the chaperone on the floor?
Get things organized. Yeah. And so we'll see. But
and then you get the Nico Mannion pick.
Yeah, Nico Mannion, another Kerr just set up. This is just Arizona, as we know. But these are things like they weren't going to take Anthony Edwards. They just weren't going to take him. They weren't in a LaMelo Ball. I think
I don't know TK. I don't know. That's not what they were saying before the draft. I saw all these reports.
I saw all the reports. Yeah, that's true. That's all that.
Here's something because I love the work that Nate Duncan does, and he was talking on the podcast with Hollinger, and Nate is firmly in the camp of they should have taken LaMelo. History will be the judge on that, of who's right on that one, but I'm just thinking, what is Steve's mood if they did that instead of Wiseman? What is the vibe right now?
A little different.
I think we're going to know quick on that too. I think we're going to need 20 games to know, not like, hey, what's Wiseman's long-term ceiling and what he'll be, but like, what is he? And then LaMelo in Charlotte with this Gordon Hayward situation. Like, it's going to be a very interesting opening, 2 months to like really watch.
Oh, you are going to be killing Nate in the group chat if Wiseman looks like an all-star.
We're going to know maybe a week into training camp, like what they're how they're talking about him. If Draymond gets up there and goes, "Wow, this Wiseman, he can play. He's obviously one of the best bigs we've had." That's going to be telling. And if it's, he looks okay. He's 19. We're not expecting. I've said this. I believe last training camp they went to practice in with D'Angelo Russell and went, "Oh God." I really think they did that. And you could just tell things drop. Like Steph starts talking about missing Andre, right? Like two practices in, three practices
that
in?
That was insane. And he called Andre. The other version of calling a player from the parking lot in Warriors War is Steph calling Andre.
You don't think Steph like hanging out with the trade exception last year? Oh, 17.2 million.
Remember how depressed they were in Brooklyn, Anthony, when they had traded, I think it was Glenn Robinson. It seemed like they were depressed that D'Angelo Russell wasn't traded at that point, and it wasn't the wrong guy. The quote Dewey Cox, the wrong kid died. Yeah.
I think we get stuff from what they even on Zoom calls, whatever we're gonna get, whatever access we're gonna get. I think we're gonna
get a tone.
Yeah, we're gonna get a tone from this. We're gonna get
when fans were mad at us about you're creating this fake story about Durant leaving. It's just, when has this guy ever said he wants to come back? when has that happened? When has he ever said that? You can read between the lines. There's a lot of damning with faint praise. There are a lot of cues. It's not entirely subtle. It's easy to read if you want to be objective and read it, I think.
We'll see the tone of voice. We'll see what they're doing. We'll see what the exhibitions look like. But I think we'll tell with Wiseman, at least if he's got, as Anthony was saying, is he a player? Is he a player right away? We're going to know. If he's a player right away, he's going to be good. If he's not a player, everything.
And we don't even have to see the workouts. They're going to find us and be like, you got to see this Wiseman guy.
Is Anthony running the Warriors, by the way? between this and the Oubre stuff? Because, Marcus and Slater are fighting over the Oubre. Who did that for the Warriors? Who made those phone calls? But I feel like it's a very Slater offseason.
Well, if I may praise him, I'm happy to be
Slater's assistant GM.
I just think, let's just say Anthony and Marcus talk to a lot of Warriors people. And you, when you do that, you get a sense of what the thinking is, what things shape up, where this is headed, what kind of player they're looking for. And this is the kind of players they were looking for. It wasn't, you know, you read their stories. God, I hate doing this. Let's hang up on them now. But and you get a
keep
sense
going,
of,
keep going.
A morsel of praise.
You get a sense, and I'll
mute the line. Keep
and going. I'll be really mean. This is more to our personality. And you read other people, you know that they're not talking to real people. You know it. They're just throwing things up in the air. This is not who they're going to take. This is not who they're going to sign. If you talk to them, you know this. It isn't like they're saying, hey, Slater, we're going to take Wiseman. It's this is what we see ourselves as. This is the shape of our franchise. This is where this is headed. And that's when you can write James Wiseman would be their obvious pick, or it's when you can write Kelly Oubre really fits what they would do if they're going to use the trade exception. That's when I think readers understand that the writers are also in tune with what the Warriors are doing too.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Do you guys want to discuss where they fit in this West picture right now?
Yeah, and I'm trying to sort of figure that. Like, there's so much change. Playoffs. Yeah, I mean, like, loose guess would be 6, 7, 8. I mean, Slater, would you disagree with that?
I mean, look, Lakers and Clippers, again, in their own tier.
Nobody wants to hear me say this, but if Steph...
I'm going top five.
Oh!
I'm going top five seed.
Oh!
I wanted this take that Ethan was about to give.
Oh, my bad.
I think playoffs, you would guess lower tier. But if Steph has one of those 15 to 20 game injuries, you might as well make it 30 or 40. Just because this is the weird thing looming over the season. I agree with Lakeb. When Lakeb says we're not tanking, no, you don't spend all this money to tank. And I don't think
happens,
you should go.
Let it go.
Yeah, huh? Exactly. Exactly. Like, you know,
that's what they did last year, right?
They had the opportunity to do it so early.
It could happen. But man, you're gonna do two seasons of this though? Two seasons? The first two seasons of Chase.
You do not go in with that mentality. You try to make the playoffs. And if it's going well, then you try to build on that. But if you get into a situation where you are just duking it out to get the eighth seed versus not getting the eighth seed, in terms of team planning, in terms of where they are, the lack of assets, where the whole Clay injury has left them, this 2021 draft is just touted beyond belief as one of the strongest in years. I've looked over it. There's an insane amount of athletic wings. It's a situation that isn't one of those, it's the first pick or it's nobody or it's the top.
You better win every Wolves
nobody.
Game, though. You better win every Wolves.
Not so they're the third worst team in the league, though.
You yeah, 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 yeah. It's a tough one. You have to be very delicate.
They're making
how you
Draymond
handle.
Give pep speeches in the locker room before Minnesota games.
Yeah, but it's just one of those things where if it is between at a certain juncture, if you've got 20 or 30 games left, and it looks like it's between a fight for the eighth seed and it's a possible top 10 pick, I think fans wouldn't want to hear it, but you should probably go for that top 10 pick, just given where they are.
That's a thin line of where they might be. So I just can't say, Draymond, forget about it. We don't care about this. I just can't see having that conversation. But okay, I grant that it's something. But where do they fit? If we're not saying Steph's going to miss 15 games, if we're saying they're going to be generally healthy, where do they fit in the West?
Let's say this. Wiseman, helpful, not unbelievable. We'll say Wiggins, Oubre, what they've mostly been, maybe be a touch better on Wiggins. You know, but good, solid two-wing guys. Lakers, Clippers, far above them. We know that.
Nuggets,
they're in their
right? Nuggets above them.
Nuggets took a step back, I thought, with the Jeremy Grant situation.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That hurt them. But still.
Jeremy Grant, who just wanted to get away from Porter. According to rumor, yeah.
But still, we would say better than the Warriors. Jazz, we're with Bogdanovich back. I mean, what do you guys think?
I think Jazz are better. I think Jazz are better.
They're, I can go with they that, know especially since they've been more. Together a while. Yeah,
yeah, they've been together. The they run that. You know, I just we don't know what Wiseman is going to be.
Well, they might be a better regular season team than a playoff team, just because if you're trying to just run on other teams and you're trying to push the pace they want the way they want to, they might catch some teams off guard. But it really seems like in the half court, other than Steph Curry magic, it's going to be hard to generate buckets. So they might be like one of those old Nuggets team.
A lot of that depends on Wiseman, and a lot of that depends on Kim Kelly and Wiggins knock down threes.
For sure. I'm going to keep going down the list here, though. So we've hit four that we think.
Looney healthy. Looney healthy. Give me a healthy Looney.
I'm not going to have that as a relied upon factor. Houston Rockets. No. I mean, right? They're probably. No. Like, it's weird that they do have Done. The. I would assume they're going to crumble. Although they just got DeMarcus Cousins. How about that pickup? Dallas Mavericks is an interesting one.
I put them ahead of
Porzingis.
The Warriors.
Porzingis to start the season. We don't know when Porzingis is coming back.
I put them ahead of the Warriors to start.
I don't know. Wesley Matthews and Seth Curry. That's
no, Wes Matthews was on the Bucks. He was on the Bucks.
Oh, that's right.
They lost him 2 years ago.
Did they lose Trey Burke? Where's Trey Burke? Did he
he signed with them, I think. He signed.
Okay.
They lost Seth.
Yeah.
That's the deal.
But they got Josh Richardson. They got Josh Richardson. Tim's guy.
Yeah, I think they're probably slated to be better than the Warriors.
Yeah, they're five.
Yeah, I got to put any team with Luka Doncic is going to be ahead.
Where was Wes Matthews last? Oh, Bucks.
Milwaukee. Yeah, he played a lot.
This is another interesting one. Portland Trailblazers.
Top end Warriors are better than Portland. If they're not top end, they're not better than Portland. So six to me is like that's the number where they could get to, but they also could be a lot worse than Portland. But you know, we've seen Draymond sometimes beats Portland by himself. And we don't know if Draymond's Draymond anymore, but I like the Warriors as like right at the same level as Portland, maybe slightly lower.
There are other frisky names, though. We're talking about the Phoenix Suns.
Gotta get Phoenix in there.
Although shorting the Phoenix Suns has never served everybody wrong in the Sarver administration. It's just so much pressure's on Steph. I mean, that's the thing. So much pressure's on Steph. I think their plan is, as the coaches, as one coach described to me, they want to run like hell and have a top 10 defense. Now, if they can go top 10 both categories, yeah, they'll be better than Portland.
I could use that quote in the story I just turned in.
Well, I don't know. I want to read that story because I might have some additional. Thoughts on this whole run and gun adventure.
And
so I don't want to overlap.
You don't mean top 10 scoring defense, because if you run, the scoring goes up. The top 10 efficiency defense, yes, which is, I think is possible.
Yeah, the top. That's what they're gunning for. That's what they're trying for. But a lot of that is, I can see the top 10 defense in their midst with all that length, despite the inexperience. But that top 10 offense that's just like Steph, just do it yourself. just be the top 10 offense. Is he still that guy? Is that something that he can pull off?
This idea that, oh, so much pressure is going to be on Steph. I mean, I agree, obviously, but you're an NBA superstar. You know, so much pressure's on James Harden. So much pressure's on Giannis. So much pressure's on a lot of these NBA superstars.
But he doesn't have a lot of tools, is what I'm saying. There's not a lot surrounding him. There's the pick and roll of Wiseman, who is a teenager. I mean, that's going to be useful, but you don't have a lot of shooting or shot creation surrounding Steph Curry versus some of these others.
I mean, they now have an 18-point-per-game 2 guard and a 20-point-per-game small forward.
But are those guys efficient?
No, not really, but they're like,
so you're asking Steph to do it, is what I'm saying.
I think realistically, are they going to take the shots? Like they didn't have people. Well, they had D'Angelo last season who took every shot, but you know they didn't have willing shooters.
But what Ethan is saying is Steph has to create their shots. Like, and if Steph doesn't create them, they don't have anybody else to create.
I would just say what this is not is to. It's definitely not last year with some of the younger guys they were trying out, and the Russell fit was terrible. I think it's definitely a better, you know, supporting cast in that. And it's not game 6 of the Toronto finals when KD's hurt and Klay's gone. Like, it's not that either. You know, I think you can't really box in one this team nearly as much as you could box in one.
Oh, but Nick Nurse will try.
You know, Wiggins has scored 20 points a game in his, you know, career. Whatever, that's something that's
20,
actually
baby.
A good thing. Yeah. And he scored 20, I'm looking it up, 23-6 one season, his third season. You know, he can put shots up, and he's not, you know, 44%.
Him and Oubre should get him 30. They should get him 30 points.
They should get more than 30.
They
didn't have that last season. They just, you know, whatever, yeah, with Russell, who was in and out and did his own stuff. Because then Steph was out. So it was really hard to say, but they weren't getting it from Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson and all the other people they played there. And from Wiggins, Wiggins, you should say they can get 16 from Wiggins. They should be able to say that. The average 19-4 for them in whatever it was, 12 games last season. He should be able to get 16 and maybe more with Steph. And that's different. Again, doesn't mean it's going to be efficient. That's what I want to say. With Ethan saying it has to be Steph, like, we saw Steph do that and no one else would shoot the ball. He's going to have some guys who will shoot the ball. Again, it might not be at the greatest efficiency level, but they'll take the shot. And that changes it for him. Okay, wait a minute. Wiggins is going to make three threes? Uh-oh, we better not double-team. Like, there's going to be some times when that happens, I think much more often than we saw last season, and which when we never saw that, basically. Also, we didn't really see Steph last season, so that's a whole other conversation.
My two thoughts are I could see him pulling off top 10 both categories, which is usually the standard for contention. I could see them doing it. I wouldn't bet on it, but if they do it, I think Steph should be in the MVP conversation at the high end.
He's got a chance narrative-wise, too, to definitely have an MVP.
Oh, Steph MVP, Steve Kerr Coach of the Year. They've pulled themselves up from their bootstraps. Come
on. No Clay.
They love.
Can I say one more thing? And it's the underrated name slash factor we have not discussed. And it when we talk top 10 defense, this is all
Smiley
that probably matters. Yeah, Smiley Geach. What is Draymond Green?
That's a question.
Oh, yeah.
Huge question.
I actually like Draymond Green on all this rest. I really do. I like Green having been out of basketball, chilling in Cabo for months.
He needs more IG sort of, like, you know, new man. We need some more hype coming from Instagram the way we got with Wiseman from Draymond. I don't know what we're getting from him right now.
Is he going to have a shot? Is he going to have a jump shot again? You know, maybe not ever, but if he does, how much does that change what they do? If he shoots 32%, like instead 30, of 35,
yeah.
It's a whole different situation. Well,
he needs to get over 30. He hasn't been over 30.
Otherwise, the aforementioned Smiley Geach is breathing down his neck as a creator. I will say, Smiley Geach has become something of a punchline on Warriors Twitter, and it's a little unfair. I would say it's a little unfair.
Is he going to play this season, Ethan? Is Smiley Geach going to play this season? No, he's not going to play this season.
If he doesn't play this season, I'm not sure he will be on the roster next season. I'm not sure. Ethan, better question. Will Alan Smiley each be on an NBA roster when he's 24 years old?
I think so. I'll guess yes. My thought on the whole Smiley each thing, I think there's something about his name that's a little ridiculous, and then people know that he was a Kent Lacob project, so there's the insinuations of nepotism and everything else. But the dude, as a teenager, put up good numbers in the G League last season. And that's not a guarantee of NBA success, but it's kind of a prerequisite that he has cleared, you know, as a 19-year-old. I think he's 20 coming into the season. So I don't think he's the joke that a lot of other people are treating him as, in a way they wouldn't if his name was Alan Smith. So that's what I would say about Smiley Geach.
I'd say maybe a little bit of, but, you know, we pick on Jordan Poole. We picked on D'Angelo Russell. Like, there's just certain players sometimes that they just don't look like they're going to fit long term, and we know the Warriors. And I would just say I don't disagree with you on some of these things, but I can't see how he plays on this team. I can't see it, and they're not even that great anymore.
I like Ethan blaming xenophobia instead of the fact the dude can't play basketball.
I think that, no, you don't think that's legit. You don't think the fact that his name is like sounds ridiculous and it's fun. It's
I think
fun
if he could play basketball,
say.
It wouldn't matter if he was good at
basketball. He was wild and made some really bad decisions with his playing time in some of his moments last season that will hurt him as far as Kerr giving him that trust. So when you say, is he going to get in? Is he going to crack the rotation? I do think that's an issue. But, I mean, he was good. He was good in the G League. That's true. What I'm saying, I'm just trying to kind of thread the needle of, it's almost like he's getting treated like a ridiculous Jacob Evans, and I don't think that is fair. I think that he has more potential to crack an NBA rotation than Evans, where it was just done. Evans went down to the G League and wasn't even good in the G League. Done. Can't do it. Not the case with the old Geach.
My practical point is, what position does he play in the NBA?
And if there's a four or five.
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to be good at either of those things. So like, that's one of those, like, you'd know quickly, right? You know, I think they saw him quickly go, okay, he's not playing for 2 years. And they're not in that spot right now. And, you know, if that's the feeling you get out of Wiseman, and I'm sure it won't be, but I think we're going to know it right away. And I think they made a call within the coaching staff at least, that this guy was not going to play for a couple years. And they're not in the business of that anymore. They're, you know, they don't have Kevin Durant, and they can just put people on the back end of this roster. They need people on the back end of the roster who are going to contribute to them in some meaningful way in at least 2 years. And that, I don't think it's going to happen with Smile Geach. I don't want to be, you know, it sounds harsh, but I think that's where they are with Smile Geach.
What you're saying is right, particularly now with the Clay injury. The Clay injury is an empty rot. You know, you're getting nothing from one roster spot. Now, if you think you're not going to get anything from a Smile Geach roster spot, you've eliminated two pretty valuable parts. You want to be a contending team. And then when we're talking about, well, maybe they add somebody and bump off Michael Mulder, but then, you know, if you're a coaching staff that's pressurized to try to compete this year, you're going, well, who would help more? Michael Mulder, who, yes, non-guaranteed, so yeah, it makes sense.
You figure out a way to dump Smile Geach. That's what
yeah.
you do.
Yeah, but okay, can they? You know, that's $1.5 million. Isn't like some team, oh, yes, let me take that. You'd have to give up a pick
you
to
know
move
what you
him,
could
and
do?
Then you're sacrificing.
Yeah, you know what you could do?
Round pick, yeah.
You could just cut him. And
whoa.
Take the hit. Stretch him. You could stretch him.
When I was defending Smile Geach, I didn't know I was defending him against, you know, against such an onslaught. I was just saying patience might pay off.
He's a stretch shooter who couldn't make a three. Like, what are we doing?
I don't think they're there yet. I think they want to give him, you know, the pandemic break was really tough for him because he was going to get a lot. I think he was going to get some playing time in those last 17 games. He was going to get a summer league. He was going to get a summer. And he just didn't have that. And we're talking about, you know, how valuable developmental time is for him right now.
That's interesting overall, is that the whole G League calculus and how you bring players along has been disrupted and isn't going to be what it was. And I wonder if that changes some decisions that, hey, we can't count on bringing some of these guys along and we can't count on having a farm system like we did. So maybe it is time to cut a Geach for preserving a Mulder. You know, that's interesting.
And they could trade Looney, you know. I mean, they could do some things where they would maybe need the roster spot for him. Like, he would have to play. But I think that that's not the way they're planning it. But, you know, look, it could all change. He shows up to training camp and he looks like he hits threes, as Marcus says. He actually hits them. That would change the dynamic. I don't expect that to happen. I expect him to come to training camp and they go, oh, okay, about the same guy.
Yeah, but they'll give him the chance to prove he's the same guy.
Exactly.
Or not.
And yeah, if he's taking a step up, then they got a shot at it. It's just, can you imagine the Warriors playing him in for even 6 minutes in any important game?
I saw them attempt to play him against Zion Williamson, and it was ragdolled around the court.
It
for
was
5 minutes.
Brutal.
Yep.
You can't do that. No, you can't do that.
That's where, like, so then you can't play him in that game. You can't play him in another game. You can't play. That becomes tough for him holding a roster spot on this team. And theoretically cutting Michael Mulder. And again, not a superstar. Michael Mulder, no way a superstar, but I can see him playing in those games, right? You can picture Michael Mulder playing in an important moment. And you cannot do that without Smile, and maybe not for another year. And that's where it gets really the value.
I like his shot fake and his driving ability.
And he can finish. He can finish. I mean, he's not without skill. It's just
63%. True shooting in the G League while scoring.
Ethan
at a high
is going to get one of these basketball ops guys in another organization to take a chance on Alan Smile.
We're all working for them. We're all working for them. Suddenly,
where's
behind
Darren
the
Erman?
Scenes.
Like, Erman just got a job with the Knicks, so that's Ethan.
Well, there
Erman
is an Erman.
Line
Seth,
up there.
I think there's some connection between Erman and Seth Cooper, who's working with Smile Geach.
Which one do you believe more? By the way, Ethan, 47 games his first year. Or 19 games the second year. Which one is the more
real? For the sample size? When he was just a baby, Marcus. A baby.
He's still a baby. I mean, he's still a baby.
I mean, either way.
He shot 24% in 47 games and 34% in 19. Like,
that's going to be the swing factor. Can he be in that? Can he, dude, if he shot 34% at the NBA level, I think he'd be good with it. But, you know, you don't know if that's going to happen. And, that's what they're working on. That's what Seth Cooper's been working on with them, is getting that shot right. As I was watching them work together a bit at the G League Winter Showcase, but I do think that you might have to make some tough decisions, just given that you can't trust your developmental process in these conditions. So I would totally understand if they kicked Smile Geach off the roster, like all you guys are advocating for.
Okay, I wanted to, but you know, I'm sure we're running up on the time limit here, but there was a lot of former Warriors traded in the last 4 days.
Many of them that we've mentioned on this show.
Yeah.
Already.
JaVale McGee gets traded for Alfonso McKinney and Jordan Bell. And then I thought the reason why...
The Lakers.
Yes, yes. The reason why it popped in my mind is because you mentioned Ehrman and the Knicks and Thibodeau. They traded for Omari Spellman and Jacob Evans. It was interesting to see all those names just flying around in transactions.
The Warriors roster flotsam and jetsam, just moving around. They're just all like salary slots. They're just like, we need to do something. Okay, let's just trade for one of those old Warriors guys. And are they all CAA? If they're ending up with the Knicks, I assume they're CAA represented.
Spellman had a little something. He had a little spark.
Yeah, he can shoot. I mean, he actually did hit threes in the NBA. So there's a guy who can play 8 minutes. And for the Knicks, maybe that's 25 minutes. You know,
I could see him one day finding his way back to the Warriors, Spellman. One day.
Yeah, I guess so.
JaVale McGee, we'll probably not.
No. That's when people were asking me about them getting DeMarcus Cousins back. I went, no, I don't think that one's likely. I just don't see that one happening. I don't want to get further into it, but I do not see them re-signing DeMarcus Cousins. They've had a lot of guys on their roster who like are just kind of end roster guys. And Jacob Evans we could throw in there too. Like there's just guys that are going to stay in the league because they are okay, but they're not going to be players in the league. They're just going to be guys. And they've had a bunch of them. They've gone through a bunch of them.
The Jordan Bell, Alfonso McKinney revenge games against Lakers Warriors are going to be epic. Starting Christmas Day.
Christmas is going to be all about those guys. That's what it's going to be.
Jordan Bell. All right, well, that's a good episode, fellas. We are on. We are ready. It's a new year. No more speculation.
We're talking about real stuff.
We've got training camp coming up.
Camp
real fast.
Starting. We're in this thing.
We got Alan Smiley-H fighting for his NBA life and training camp.
Ethan is staggered by this whole conversation. He's about to go have to towel off after.
Smiley-H Zoom call when he's staring us all down. That's going
to
be good.
I want to validate why I went to Vegas in the wintertime is all I want to do.
Omari Spellman, 36.6% career NBA shooter.
Yeah, he can shoot the three.
He can shoot it, man. He's in shape. Pretty good stuff.
I enjoyed covering Omari Spellman for that brief period. Anyway,
yeah, I liked him. But...
Camp next week, or well, 2 weeks, I guess, from camp, right?
No, isn't it like December 2? I thought.
Well, they can't do team workouts till I don't think December 6th or 7th. They have like that quarantine process and individual workout process, and it leads up into, I think, group workouts is when we'll really start to, like you said, hear like, hey, how'd this guy look in a scrimmage? That's like December 6th.
All right, we got some time, but here comes the season, finally.
All right, we're out.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.